Welcome back to In the Airwaves. I'm Tristan Cosman, and I'm joined today by Dave DeMoss.
Hello.
And I think this time we had a little bit of a quandary on what we wanted to cover on topics, but I think we decided on string theory or the multiverse.
Yep.
Along with some Mandela effect and
human matrix existence.
Yeah. Where everybody thinks that, we live in a matrix. So, where do you want to begin on that, Dave?
Oh, man. Where does one begin on something like that, man? Let's talk about the matrix, I guess. Let's look at that. Let's look at how prevalent first-person RPGs have become and how people just want to play life the game.
All right. So, I mean, when it comes down to it, my whole feeling on the situation is, there's a lot of talk of everything is a computer generated existence. Everything is more along the lines of we're all just kind of part of the machine, having to do whatever, whenever, just to get by. And I could see a lot of truth to that, but in the same respect, I could also see that it could go either way. I mean,
well, it's the alternative.
Well, I mean,
the acceptance of free will.
Yeah. Because if you don't have free will, then in the same respect, is there really any point? You know what I mean?
Sure. I mean,
because predestination just kind of, it leaves people doubting the fact that they have any meaningful existence other than to serve as a throughway to something else.
Yeah, in one respect, I could see that. I mean, I've always been of the nature that fate and free will are kind of intertwined. For example, in an infinite universe, because, I mean, this is going to kind of tie into that. Every single choice that you could possibly make is already, it's there. There it is. It's already unfolded. And we're sort of navigating the causeways of all of these different choices and ideas that we have in front of us. However, we get to make that choice. Does that mean that there is an illusion that with fate included in that idea, does that dictate that no matter what we choose, it was always predestined for it to happen? Yes and no. I mean, I guess it really boils down to that if you view life through the lens of being nothing more than a cog in the machine, then that's what you'll be,
Right. It also, though, that whole statement of, you're essentially just, no matter what choice you make, you have a predetermined outcome. Mm-hmm. So that would make the illusion of free will just that. It's an illusion. Because mm-hmm. no matter what you choose, you, in a roundabout way, or even in a more convoluted way, end up in the same spot.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. But, it's sort of like, if I make one decision, it's going to affect tenfold as many people. And that's, breaks down to like the butterfly effect. And I also like to think of it again, paradoxically. It's like when they did the slit experiments, how a light is measured as both a particle and a wave. It's based off of the viewpoints of the observer. So you could move through something and make the choices that you make the entire time. But at the end of the day, when you go back and look at it, it's almost perfectly stacked in a way that, like, damn, if I didn't know any better, I could have swore that was deliberate. Either right. For me, for somebody else, for the collective, whatever.
Right. Yeah, I could understand that. Yeah, I mean, I guess it just it depends on how a person chooses to feel on it at the end of the day.
Right. And I think that that in and of itself has so much more weight behind how the quality of life that we're going to be living leads to that idea. You know, if you feel like that you're just surrounded by NPCs all day and you're walking around, well, I mean, if you ain't leveling up, then what the fuck you doing? Where's your character sheet and get some XP going on, you know?
Right.
Like, that's one of the things that me and Cal actually did. We have legitimate second edition Dungeons and Dragons character sheets for ourselves.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what is your take on like string theory or the multiverse theory?
Oh, like I said, I think it's definitely a realistic situation. I mean, we're dangerously close to interacting with other dimensions as a whole, you know? Right. And if there are multiple dimensions and multiple levels, like the multiverse, based off of the choices that we make, like, I think that we create multiverses every second of every single day. I think that those things are just off put from us.
Right. Well, I mean, one of the theories of the whole multiverse thing is, especially with, I don't know if it's so much in the string theory, is that's more of a linear thing, but no matter what action you have or what choice you make, what decision you decide, it creates another universe, mm-hmm. like an offshoot of the original.
Mm-hmm.
So
I thought that the string theory was the dimensions like folded up and wrapped up within itself, creating a string.
Could be. I have to do some more research on that, I suppose. I guess it, I don't know. That's not the way I took it, but I thought it was more of a linear thing.
Let's find out. We need one of those dudes that Joe Rogan has that just looks shit up on Google for us.
A producer?
No, I don't want to deal with all that, because then they get really full of themselves, you know, they start acting like they know everything. Huh, maybe you're right. Okay, so it says, in physics, string theory is a theoretical framework in which the point-like particles of particle physics are replaced by one-dimensional objects called strings. String theory describes how these strings propagate through space and interact with each other. Well, that didn't really clear up anything.
No.
They just show pictures of a bunch of colorful rubber bands.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, I guess it's two different things, I would assume. The whole string theory being what it is, and the multiverse thing being kind of just or they have what they call the bubbleverse theory, where it's just a bunch of universes basically in their own little self-maintained bubble.
Yeah.
That are all over the place. We just don't interact with them.
I remember seeing something on like a National Geographic documentary talking about this stuff, and it was talking about how the multiverse may just look like a big old block of Swiss cheese. And each one of the holes is an individual universe that's within it.
Yeah, it is a possibility. I mean, it's been one of those things where it's inspired all sorts of TV shows and movies and everything for years and years. So,
would you hang out with your multidimensional self?
No.
Why not?
Well, if he's any worse than I am, there's, you know. I guess probably not the best idea.
But I mean, the idea is that, you know, it's different versions of yourself. It can't be just you. So there's always going to be one weird quirk. Like instead of having red beard, he's got a big black beard. Or, you know what I mean? He's got a full head of hair and no beard. Or one of them is just optimistic as fuck and happy all the time. Like to the point where it's disgusting. It just is irritating.
Right. Well, I mean, that kind of goes along with the whole multiverse thing. It was the thought that there are infinite numbers of universes. So every single possible outcome for you or me or anyone else, if it could happen, technically, by the multiverse theory, it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. You could be a president. You could be a serial killer.
Right.
You know, it kind of just, you know, luck of the draw, I guess, on what you are and whatever other person you interact with.
Well, is it luck of the draw, though? Because, I mean, like, I like to think that our own internal guiding compass has a lot to do with that. Like, that's kind of to unpack the whole, well, maybe not, why not at the same time, you know? Like, I think that the conscious choices that we make based off of either, well, I've heard a theory that you follow the thing that is the highest excitement to you, and that's when events start to play out in front of you where it's like, under no realistic situations or circumstances should this be happening for me, but it is. You know, you're attracting right. those kinds of things to you. It's kind of what a bunch of nut jobs who are into the hardcore woo-woo shit that they find on TikTok. You know, yeah. that's sort of mistaken for the law of attraction, sort of an idea there.
Right.
But I like to think that our mindset and ability to sort of filter and funnel in that information that we're constantly taking in
mm-hmm.
and accept this and reject that, that plays a huge role into what, I guess, universe you could say that we're in now.
Right. Well, I mean, unlike the whole string theory where it's a more linear thing, with the multiverse, it's, they're random. So you don't necessarily know what one you would be interacting with. Like I said, any possible outcome of your particular life or my particular life or anyone else's particular life by that theory happened in a different universe. Yeah. So depending on what would be the closest to interact with, if we ever had that option to do so, again, would be kind of luck of the draw. It's whichever one you fall into.
Yeah, that's just, I think it's because physics and physicists, scientists as a whole refuse to lump in the whole notion of some sort of divine creator or something like that into that. I mean, and it makes sense because you can't quantify that. That's a pun. You can't put that kind of stuff on a chalkboard. You can't say, okay, this is the equation of what God is. You know what I mean? Like, you right. can't do that. It doesn't work that way. And if you do, 9 times out of 10, you know, you're wrong.
Right.
You're making something up. You're having some kind of assumption here and you're pushing it as truth, which is a mistake. But in the same sense, like when you do sort of put that idea into the equation, so to speak, then things become a little bit more interesting, if you will, as opposed to it being just sort of we're drifting aimlessly and nobody's out there to look out for us kind of a thing. Rather, that to me seems very disempowering. And I could see how somebody would fall into the theory or mindset that, well, none of it really matters. You know, nihilism was born that way.
Hmm. Yeah. Like I said, though, it to me just seems like, you know, if we ever do find ways to travel to another universe, I mean, there's a chance that, you know, there may be a universe where there was never an asteroid that hit the Earth and killed all the dinosaurs. So
right.
humans are no longer the predominant species on the planet. Or, you know, say there's a universe where
gravity doesn't exist.
Well, yeah. I mean, something like that. Or the fact that, you know, most of mankind was wiped out by a nuclear war mm-hmm. or some other, say that, you know, certain antibiotics or medicines were never invented and the common cold killed the majority of people.
Deodorant. Could you imagine just a universe where it's like really small inconvenient stuff, you know? I mean, I'm sure that there's like catastrophic situations, but one where it's like everybody just shaves their eyebrows because it's normal. Like, why? Or deodorant wasn't invented. Like, everybody just smells terrible. And nobody realizes it because everybody just sort of lives that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like you go back to 16, 17, 1800s, where it wasn't common.
The 60s.
Well, yeah. No, see, then showers were readily available. People just chose not to shower.
I guess, yeah, they can't. Yeah,
fucking
you're right.
Dirty. But, yeah, I mean, when you had to, say, walk a few miles to a lake or a river and bring back water, that's one thing. But when you're just refusing to shower because you don't fucking want to, well,
that's that called bad hygiene.
Yeah.
It's no excuse. Take a bath.
So I heard a on one of the videos that I had watched recently, a hypothesis that the multiverse theory kind of fits in with the Mandela effect.
Mm-hmm.
By people remembering, you know, whatever the case may be, whether it be the Berenstain Bears, whether it be the Fruit of the Loom stuff, you know, the not a majority, but a large group of people remember things, and reality's like, no, you're fucking stupid. It's not that way.
Have you ever had that happen to you?
Yeah, a lot.
Give me an example.
Well, I mean, a lot of them, the whole thing, with, especially with like Fruit of the Loom, back when I was a kid, buying Walmart clothes, you bought Fruit of the Loom.
Right.
And always looking at the tag and wondering why there's a cornucopia on your underwear or on your fucking shirt. And then you grow up into adulthood and you're like, okay, it's not there anymore. Maybe it got rebranded or they just changed the picture or whatever. And then they're like, no, that never happened.
I think they're full of shit.
Yeah.
Either that or, well, I mean, don't some people blame CERN when they fired that giant-ass particle collider on that it, you know, disrupted the barrier, if you will, between these universes? Because I want to say, like, on top of creating antimatter and just backwards-ass things and that should not be in this universe, like...
Yeah, that was the whole thing with them doing that and people getting all freaked out thinking that, you know, they're going to create gravitons, which are going to create the black holes and rip the universe apart and whatnot.
They've made micro black holes over there, though. I mean, I heard that the hottest temperature that has ever been recorded in the entire universe took place there. And it was like 17 million or billion degrees or just something obscene. Like, why? Why would you need what the fuck is the point?
Well, I mean, I guess if you have an endless supply of money and want to see what happens, well, there you go.
I guess I kind of respect that attitude.
I mean, the whole looking for the God particle, that was the...
The Higgs boson?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, they found it, too.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that was the whole purpose of that.
See?
And apparently they're actually, instead of doing the linear two-point going into the middle, they're supposed to be doing one that... in the future, at least, doing one that's like a giant-ass circle.
I thought that's what they have out there. It's a huge ring, and they shoot these particles around and collide them at
Well, that may be Mach now, 20. But I know originally it was basically just you have one machine at each end, and they just slam into each other, and it was like a little over 16 and a half miles of tube.
Good
Lord. From end to end.
That's insane. I mean, I'm not going to lie. The scientific theory, as to break it down as crudely as possible, is simply fuck around and find out. That's what it is. You know,
that was the whole point. It's like, we want to see what happens. Okay. But
that's weird. Well, okay. All right. So here's an interesting point then. So... Multiple dimensions, multiple universes, multiple possibilities, infinite universes, infinite decisions.
Right.
And I've already said that, you know, with the light particles and waves, it's all based off of the observer. And the same thing is true for electrons. They actually are just an electron cloud.
Right.
And depending on when you look at it or where, just if you look at it, is going to determine the position of that. So what if by them creating this insanely powerful, dangerous device that's like pretty much, it's destructive on a multiversal level, they observed the Higgs boson particle into this reality, into existence. They were looking for it, so they found it. You know?
And that's a good possibility.
Yeah, I don't know.
But who's to say, you know, they were saying that, you know, finding something like that or just having CERN operating at all was enough to rip universes apart, who's to say that it couldn't pull two together?
Right, right. And I think that that's kind of what we're experiencing with the Mandela effect, if that's where you're going with that statement.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there's, you kind of have a split between large groups of people where certain people remember Mandela dying in the 80s, and then the other however many percent are like, no, that never happened. It's like, you have people that believe this wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
And who's to say that, you know, when something like that happened, whether it be CERN or whatever, could even just be a random happenstance of two universes kind of intermingling, that, you know, one person is replaced without knowing it, and maybe the universes aren't necessarily different enough other than small things.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the big ones aside, like the Bernstein Bears and Coca-Cola's logo and whether right. or not it was Jif or Jiffy or whatever, like weird little shit that I've noticed too. Like, swear to God, one day I noticed that the door handle on my old apartment, on my living room door, was completely different. It was completely different. It used to be this like oval silver thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like old school. I thought it was really neat. I noticed it right when we moved in there because I thought it was a cool thing. You right. know, I don't know. I got an eye for detail like that, you know?
Right.
And then one day I'm waking up and I'm going into my living room and I grab the door handle and it's just this plain black round circle. And I didn't understand why. Like, why did that happen? What changed?
Right.
You know, so the code word for anybody listening out there, if you want to make sure you're in the same universe as you've been, is mangoes. Okay. Why mangoes? I don't know. I'm allergic to it, and it's just random enough for people to look around and be like, mangoes? Yeah, mangoes. All right. We're on the same page here. It's important. It is important if you are wholeheartedly subscribed to the idea of multiple universes and dimensions clashing into each other. You want to make sure you're surrounded by the same people. Otherwise, it's a disaster and you start like having conversations where, nah, that didn't happen, or you don't even know if you know them anymore. Shit, they could be a robot. They could be an NPC from the Matrix and they're there to invade you, right? The agents are coming. Mr. I'm just
Mr.
kidding.
Smith?
Mr. Smith, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not really kidding. I do use that in day-to-day life, and that's just because I'm a little tilted. I don't care. Stand by it.
It's well, important. I mean, that could also be, like, an explanation for any time you get deja vu.
Mm.
You know, you go somewhere completely new. You know you've never been there before. You know you have no... should have absolutely no knowledge of places or things or events or,
mm-hmm.
but every once in a while you get that feeling of, I've been here, I've done this, I know what happens. And then it happens and you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
This shouldn't be happening because I've never been here. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know where, you know, what anything is.
Right.
But I mean, who's to say that, you know, the travel through, if you were from one dimension or one universe to another, you may have different memories, but it may just kind of be scrambled. Because if you have, say, you have two people that merge together, you're going to have conflicting memories.
Mm-hmm.
So who's to say that if that happens, you don't have two versions of yourself basically cohabitating, but the memories are kind of fighting for dominance.
Oh, God, you just gave a brand new argument for people with schizophrenia. That's awesome. And like multiple personality disorders. Yeah. I hope that in 10 to 15 years, that's admissible in court.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like I didn't do that. The me from Dimension 5B did, you know. Oh, Christ. Now, for real, though, like,
schizophrenics, though, they don't tend to be the same person. It's various facets of their own personality.
True, yeah. No, that's definitely more multiple personalities, or yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe there's not even a term for it yet.
I mean, not to mention along the lines of schizophrenics have a tendency to hear auditory hallucinations,
yep,
visual hallucinations, and they're almost like combined with bipolar, where out of nowhere they just freak the fuck out or they break down or, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it'd be that way though sometimes. I guess, what about like how psychedelics interact with you? Or since this entire premise of the show is based around like the weird kind of unusual, right, like any sort of clairvoyancy, clairaudience, you know, like that sort of an idea, like listening to a song, playing music, and then hearing lyrics and words spoken on top of those lyrics.
Right.
And it's not just on an individual basis. Multiple people can all contest to this particular situation. Mm-hmm. What if somebody with schizophrenia is just tapped into that part of, that part of the veil is just lifted. So they're just experiencing shit that people who are kind of just tuned in at this level don't quite receive all the time. I mean, no, I'm not saying now that that's all of the case, but I do know that back in the day, like way back in the day in the tribals eras, anybody who demonstrated any signs of what we would dub now schizophrenia was immediately taken to their tribal shaman, and they were trained, they were taught. And those are the people who just would know that in 2 weeks from now on this particular day, after the moon is in this particular position, then all of the deer are going to show up. And it did.
Yeah.
You know, so it's who's to say? And I feel that as far as the mental health field is concerned, we're pretty lowbrow when it comes to that sort of an idea, just because we discredit anything that the subconscious mind clings to so desperately. Like, we just cannot comprehend it. If we can't write it on a chalkboard, or if we can't recreate the event, then we do not want to consider it admissible evidence.
Right. Well, a lot of, especially with like the schizophrenics and a lot of other people with like bipolar, the reason that they're not looked at as being tapped into anything other than our own reality is, well, mainly because they don't want to have to deal with anything other than the fact that they want to be, or the doctors, I should say, want to label them as a threat to humanity, because a lot of times, like I said, with the random outbursts that they get, they do become violent or completely unhinged to a point where they are hazardous to themselves, if not other people,
right,
especially with the auditory and the visual hallucinations.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's a fucking terrifying experience. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they probably also don't want to be fucking sued, and they sort of have to practice based off of what is accepted in the modern medical community.
Yeah, I mean, it's an ever-evolving thing. This is the same practice that at one point gave people cocaine and mercury and other very bad things to people.
You had me in the first half, but the second half, I'm going to have to bow out. You know.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, they use that as a treatment for you know, whatever, along with radium and other irradiated products.
Yeah.
You know, they used to use this as a treatment for schizophrenia, God, if I'm not mistaken.
There was a story that I heard once. I'm trying to remember exactly what the guy's name was, but this was back in the early 1900s. And he was given irradiated, like, a tonic, you know. It was, I don't know if it was water or what it was, and he felt like absolute crap his whole life. He drinks this, and he's just discovered the elixir of life. And the doctor's like, yeah, man, I mean, this stuff is readily available, and they prescribed this stuff to him because you could just give somebody irradiated water as medicine back in the day. And he drank this stuff so much that to this day, nobody can get near his bones without getting some sort of radiation sickness. Like, he is toxic in the strongest definition of the word today, and he was buried like in the 50s. Mm-hmm. So that's 80 something years that this guy's been sitting in a lead box, and you still can't get within 50 feet of him, man.
Right. I mean, it's the same way, especially if you look at a lot of the women that used to work at Luminous Dial or radium dial or
the West Clocks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, they had one in Ottawa. They had one over in Peru. There was also another one, I believe, in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they told these people that, you know, their prizes for doing top earnings or top production would be to get a tonic of radium. And I forget what else was
uranium.
In it.
Uranium.
It was ridiculous. No, it was actual radium.
Ah.
And to think that, I mean, a lot of those people have the same problems where their bones still give off radioactive signal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see any clock from that era that is still in existence, it still gives off radioactive signals.
Yep. Yep. So, you walk over with a Geiger counter on that, the thing's just going to buzz and click like crazy.
Yeah.
My grandma actually worked at West Clocks. She's dead now, but I guess back in the day, she was one of the ones that was like painting her teeth to glow in the dark with the mm-hmm. with the radium paint. Yeah. That's insane. Like, but they didn't know. You know what I mean? Like, you can't mistake ignorance for maliciousness.
I mean, a lot of that was covered up to begin with.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was one of those things where the guy that owned the company told them it was good. Doctors told them that it would, you know, be a cure for things. And the whole roundabout way that our medical system works is completely just jacked up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's because that needs to be peer reviews, you know, and multiple doctors have to get on the same page where they throw away their preconceived notions and biases and be able to objectively look at something. But they're still human beings. And it's very difficult for a human being to look at something without going into a preconceived notion or a bias.
Right.
Especially when it comes to something like that, because, I mean, they may have learned that somewhere back in the day that their grandpappy used to put mercury on his knees in the wintertime, and it made his arthritis feel better, you know?
Yeah, probably caused a lot of bone deterioration as well, but regardless probably. Of the fact. But, yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of one of those things where, at least in my perception, when you get down to it, like we were saying before with the whole multiverse and like the Mandela effect, it seems like it could be plausible because who's, you know, without any specialized equipment or anything that we wouldn't notice necessarily unless there's drastic changes. If I'm not mistaken, Philip K. Dick actually said something about us having the deja vu as a way of noticing that you have slipped into an alternate universe as well.
Interesting. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
I've heard the inverse, that deja vu is a sign that you are where you're supposed to be.
It could be.
But how... First, I don't know who Philip K. Dick is.
So he was a science fiction writer back 60s, 70s,
okay.
Somewhere in that area. But he had said that he had ended up in a different universe and he did a whole interview about it saying that he also related this to the fact that we are indeed in a Matrix situation.
Hmm.
And it basically comes down to any changes are basically like patches and upgrades to the system. So people believing anything for the Mandela effect could have just been from a prior boot up of said system and weren't privy to any updates too.
Okay, all right. So why the fuck am I running on Windows 3.1 from time to time? All right, so...
Probably because you have MS and your brain's just like, I fucking hate you.
Yeah, sometimes. Other times, it's just like, think about it like this, because it's fucked. Never mind. So then who's the programmer? You know, I mean, if we're going to take into that particular context, does the programmer have any sort of malicious intent, or are they just sitting there designing some farm simulation game? Like,
well, I mean, from what I understand on the whole Matrix situation is it's become not necessarily a human program, more of a like a sentient AI, similar to like the actual Matrix, where you had computers that ran everything. You know, we've been, even now in this particular existence, trying to get people to upload consciousness into a cloud. Every like time. A computer cloud.
Would you do that?
No.
Why not?
Why should I?
I mean, it'd be fucking cool to be an android. What do you mean? You could be Gundams?
Well, that's not the reason that they're doing it.
Come on, though. Is that just because they can't go around and tell people that they want to be Gundams? Like, nobody's going to take that seriously. They have to, you know, we want to maintain the person who won the Nobel Peace Prize, but secretly, he wanted to be a fucking robot.
Well, I mean, that could be one aspect to it, but in the same respect, you could just be one consciousness that basically helps funnel information into an organic computer.
Right.
So you're not necessarily going to be an external part of that situation.
You probably won't even be a part of that. I don't think so. I think it will just take all of the information that you have up till that point that you were copied, and then they insert their CDRW into whatever, and then all of a sudden you're printed out, and that was the record of you. But it's not really you. Right. Or is it really you, you know? I mean, that's where it gets tricky. Like, I mean, now we're talking about cyborgs. It's almost the same idea as a clone, you know?
Similar, yes.
Almost.
But instead of, like I said, instead of having a physical form, you would just be in a digital form.
Right.
And you wouldn't necessarily be an actual physical consciousness, rather you would be more of a dictionary of experiences. Well, I mean, we're not, at least to my knowledge, just acting as a roadmap of random outcomes.
Who's to say, though? I mean, you yourself said that at the beginning of this, if we are drifting and it's orchestrated and this is the Matrix and it's already been predetermined on how it's going to go down, you know, that sounds exactly like that. It is,
but in my own personal feeling, at least, mm-hmm. I hope that is not the case.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Simply too, for the fact that if that is the case and we are all just kind of, you know, supplying information on basically a random number generator on, you know, outcomes for situations, then, you know, kind of, it takes away the humanity of it. You know what I mean? It takes away the drive to do stuff other than just normal living.
Yeah. Yeah, true. There are some people out there who's just happy about going to work every day and coming home and watching game shows and crashing after Seinfeld, calling it a day. Personally, that sounds like the most depressing existence like you could imagine. And I try to do everything I can to avoid that, mostly because I hate Jerry Seinfeld for no real reason.
Well, I mean, there's definitely a reason. Mainly, he's not funny. And
Didn't a bunch of shit come out about that guy?
Probably. I don't know. I tend not to dwell on celebrity media. Like, I don't follow their lives.
No.
But yeah, you get people that, especially like musicians or celebrities or anything like that, you have people that are hardcore into it and they're, oh, I gotta know what happened here. I gotta know what they did there, what their life is about here.
It's like obsessive.
I don't fucking care. Unless it directly affects my life, I don't really need to know. Because it just seems like a lot of wasted energy. At least in my own.
No, I think you're right. It's definitely, you know, it's unfunneled at the very least. Like, you're not utilizing the energy that you have to obsess about some person who, if you even do ever meet one day, they're probably not going to
think twice about you again. That's going to be that. You're just going to be weird about it, and then that's going to be the end of it.
Yeah. Like, I've met a lot of celebrities in my short life, but, you know, I don't obsess over their past, their, you know, their entire lives, because, well, it isn't relevant to right now.
Yeah.
I mean, if they feel like telling you a story, that's one thing, but to go on Wikipedia or some other random website and just, you know, download their entire history. It's like, you have other people that.
That's weird.
Could do that. Yeah.
That's really weird.
It is.
That's, you know, if they weren't like famous or had a net worth of, you know, more than 900K, then that'd be considered being a stalker.
Yeah.
Under most circumstances, that is stalking, in my opinion. If you sit there and you got a bunch of posters of this random other person on your wall, and that's weird. That's really weird.
They called it idolatry.
Yeah. And the whole false idol thing was pretty well frowned upon in at least Christianity. But, you know, I'm not going to get started on that because we don't have enough time. So, yeah, what else?
Why was it a cornucopia? What? I mean, I get it, fruit of the loom. But you'd think that it would be a loom, not a cornucopia.
Well, like, I don't understand. That was the... Normally what people would see, especially look at around like Thanksgiving time, you always see the cornucopia as being a symbol of bounty and abundance. So, I mean, it's kind of same thing.
You ever try to carry one of those damn things? There's no handle. It's not ergonomic in any way, shape, or form. Like, if you were to put it under your arm, all your stuff is going to fall out. If you're going to carry it like this, it's just in the way. You know? It's a failed attempt at a basket. Maybe that's why. I just dressed it up. I don't know. So is that considered a glitch? Or is that... Because I've heard that there was, like, cover-ups that were done to kind of like an Operation Mindfuck sort of thing with Antoine LaVey and the whole Satanist movement to just get people to act on a whole new level, just be weird about all kinds of different stuff, and just to screw up the, what do they call it, homeostasis of the general population. You know, we don't have a balance, we don't have your stasis, your baseline, and once that gets screwed up because of a distorted perception of reality, then people are frantic, then people are weird, then people are just like all over the place.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's a possibility that it's a glitch. I mean, look at, you know, I'm sure you, much like everyone else, has set something down in one place, you know where it's at, you go back to get it, and it's not there.
That happens all the time.
Right.
I hate it.
Or, you know, you could say that it is too, depending on if you want to go the Matrix way or if you want to go the multiverse way, who's to say it's not, you know, one universe into another.
Mm. Have you ever set something down, went to go pick it up, it's not there, frantically ran around your house looking for it, only to come back and it's in the same spot that you thought you left it at?
A lot.
I don't like that. I call them micro black holes. I've had this theory since the early 2000s that it's just, I don't know, I just think I generate micro black holes because shit just goes missing. That doesn't have anything to do with my horrible organizational skills. It has more to do with something else. It's clear, right? Why would I take accountability here? No. But yeah, that happens a lot. That happens a lot to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you set something down on your kitchen table or on your counter or on your couch even, and then you go and you look for it, and all of a sudden it ends up in, like, the weirdest random fucking place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
finding,
like, okay.
Finding keys in the freezer sort of vibes.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think, well, maybe I was just extremely, you know, frantic when I was putting stuff away and it accidentally slipped in there, blah, blah, blah. But then you're like, no, I put my fucking keys down before I even put groceries away.
Right. And I wasn't frantic. Just got done grocery shopping. Like, now is the time where I'm moving slow here. I'm taking my time putting stuff away. Not a typically
not a typical frantic person, Tristan, you know, like I don't see you doing that sort of a thing.
But who's to say at this particular point, though, now that like we couldn't take things such as, you know, hauntings and just say that maybe it's, you know, moving into another universe where that energy that is causing havoc in a house or you are seeing random people isn't the merging of those two things. Because who's to say, you know, where you live now isn't where somebody else lives in another universe.
Right, right.
I mean, I do believe they made a horror movie about that. It was it The Others?
Yeah, where the people...
It was essentially through the viewpoint of the ghost.
They thought they were the normal family, right? They thought they were the ones being haunted. Turns out
they were the ghost, and it was a new family that moved into the house.
Yep. It's like Beetlejuice on, you know, psychological thriller steroids.
Right. So, I mean, it gets into a really weird situation where it kind of just depends on what you feel like you want to believe.
I think a lot of today's philosophical mindset boils down to exactly that. And with quantum physics and the observing, or, you know, coming to the perspective of what the observer is looking for, that kind of adds a lot of weight to it, you know? Like,
yeah, because, I mean, you get down into the quantum level of things and basically all of your laws of the world kind of go out the window.
They do. They really do. And we're finding that more and more it's the old Hermetic axiom, as above, so below, kind of a vibe, as within, so without. So like that which you perceive is what you're going to find.
Right. But I mean, like I was watching a video last night where they were basically bombarding a wall with a barrier with slits in it with atoms to see the outcome. You know, you figure you have a barrier in between, has two small slits. You bombard this thing with atoms and you're going to have two small slits on the back, which would show where the atoms were.
Right.
And they found out that it was actually more along the lines of a wave pattern. So it kind of scattered almost the entire back wall of it. But as soon as they observed it, it went back to their original. There's just two small lines now.
Right. Right.
So yeah, it kind of depends on, you know, if it's being observed or not. And it kind of, it also to me seems like if you are putting that energy into it where you're expecting an outcome, is it biasing what's actually happening?
I think so. I think it's always bias. I think since we are always in a position of the observer, then, I mean, unless you're a yogi or a sage or something that's been able to completely merge your subconscious and conscious mind and you don't have any opinions or polarities, in which case you probably would be dead because it's impossible to exist without that, in my opinion. Then we are, we're chasing the proverbial dragon here, you know, we're never going to have any solid answers in this. And I think the more that we try to understand it, the more that we are actually putting our own physical reality of space-time in jeopardy. I think that we're getting to the point now where we have a lot of really cool power tools, but we're still a bunch of kids. And we have no respect for the rules because we don't know them,
right?
You know, and again, like I said earlier, you cannot mistake ignorance, or you can't mistake maliciousness where ignorance could easily be inserted. You just can't do it. I mean, that's I forget what philosopher said that or who said that, but I read that one the other day and I was really struck by that. It's just like all these people that are walking around screaming obscene things. All right, are they really of that notion when they know both sides of the story, or do they just not know and this is what they are convinced of the truth?
Right. But who's to say the maliciousness couldn't be the fact that they are willfully ignorant?
Nah, willful ignorance is a completely, completely different thing, I think, than just your standard.
Unintentionally being ignorant to the fact, just for whatever the reason may be, but refusing to hear anything that doesn't align with your current ideology is, well, it would be, at least in my opinion, a malicious intent.
I agree.
Because you are purposely choosing to not get educated because you feel that it may change your opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that is a more, it's a smaller portion than what we may think that there is, you know? I think that there is a lot of people out there who, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of really stubborn, dumb people out here that just don't want to change anything. And God forbid that they have to look at something and be like, I was wrong about that.
Right.
But I think there's even more people that simply are, especially in today's age, overwhelmed with the amount of information that is out there, that they want to cling to something that they feel is the truth. And when push comes to shove and they try to argue or push that point, they can't accept anything else because perhaps, you know, it's a feeling of just being overwhelmed, you know?
Yeah.
And in which case, ignorance, standard issue, garden variety ignorance, still applicable because you can't expect, I mean, Jesus, especially in today's like teenage age. Is that a word? Teenage sure. group. I don't know. I don't know how to say it. People between the ages of like, I don't know, 14 and even as young as 23. Okay. Under the circumstances that they were raised, the generation that raised them, as well as the information and the just huge leap in everything that is available at our fingertips, it's just like, it's a cornucopia of information.
Yeah. I feel that a lot of that cornucopia, though, has gone to spoil, I guess, simply for the fact that the majority of information that is out there is not accessed. It's not what people want. You know, you take, especially take the age group that you had mentioned prior, and you see the majority of that age group, they all gravitate towards one specific sort of entertainment or information.
Fortnite, let's go, dude. I will tear up any kids on Fortnite listening to this. Gotta watch my phrasing on that one. That's not right.
Yeah, I think you'd be okay.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I guess I don't have that whole video game mentality, really. Mainly because I get bored with it very quickly. But, I guess just the generational gap between me and someone at the age of 23, there's not a lot of relation in any of how we were raised or any of, the generational things that kind of we grew up with as kids as opposed to how they grew up with, you know.
Right.
We didn't have the same things that were given to us in our formative years that they did.
It's true. We've become that which we swore to destroy.
Yeah.
We are becoming the boomer generation of today's day and age. And it is true. It is a back in my day situation.
I mean, it is. It really is. But it seems like, the generational gap is closing, at least, on how quickly one age group of people can't relate to the people underneath of them in age.
You think that it's closing?
Well, I mean, just that gap is getting shorter.
Mm, yeah.
Getting smaller. Because everything is so overwhelming and so quickly changing that it's hard to keep up. And unless you are, again, in your formative years and able to adapt that much faster, you're kind of like the, outdated computer at that point.
Hmm.
You really no longer have a use. Except for, sort of being able to relate to older media and whatever else.
Right.
And older programming. And
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a lot to think about, actually. When you boil down to it and you really want to look at it, I think that the whole idea and the whole notion of, well, people aren't gravitating towards wanting to become more educated, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that there is and always has been the large group of people who just are, well, like you said earlier, just sort of happy to live the mundane existence, and they don't really care to explore anything outside of what their day-to-day life consists of. But in the same breath, like, there is also a ton of people in, you know, the generation below us that are just revolutionizing things, that are taking old concepts and completely flipping it on its head for the better. You know, the ones who have the megaphones in this case are the same ones who've had the megaphone for thousands of years. And most of it is a lot of really dumb shit, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there are people out there who just aren't utilizing it for what it's supposed to be used for, or what we would think that it's supposed to be used for, you know?
Right. I guess, at least I probably should have said it differently, you know, with as widespread as things like social media and things like that, mm-hmm. you know, you have the availability to contact almost anyone on the planet that you can find, but the willingness to have any discussions over certain things or, I'll give you an example. I posed a question on Facebook last night and asked that if anyone, at least within, you know, the surrounding area, would be willing to meet up to have a discussion on cryptids or on the Mandela effect or the multiverse or anything along those lines.
Yeah. Did you find anybody?
No.
Did we get any guests?
No. The only comment, or two comments really, that I had were one person saying aliens were really just fallen angels and tried to do a whole holy roller explanation on everything.
Uh-huh.
And the other one was somebody commenting on that post about, to give some more context, it was about how the angels fell from heaven and they came down and they did the whole epic of Gilgamesh, what they procreated with the human women. And
right.
The other person that commented on it is like, yeah, I taught them how to fuck.
Dude, bring them both on. Are you kidding me? Both of them deserve a platform at this point in time. Like, let's get the zealot. Let's get the memer. And let's give them a platform. I would love to have a conversation with both of them. I think that would go swimmingly. That, you know, we'll build like some blast shields or something. That way nobody's beating the hell out of each other. Or maybe we don't. They just put up wrestling ring ropes instead. I mean, that would be hilarious.
I mean, this room is like, 10 feet across?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that ain't going to work.
It's Fight Club rules, man. Let's go.
I mean, if somebody breaks my computer, they're getting fucked up.
Oh, yeah. No, see? There you go. You already know. Already know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've heard that theory before. I don't know. I've never met any aliens, and I've never met any fallen angels.
Well, I guess my biggest thing on that was, in my post, I didn't say anything about aliens. I didn't say anything about UFOs. I didn't say anything about, you know, government cover-ups of aliens.
Mm-hmm.
This was the only thing this person could think of to be relevant in that context. Was aliens.
Okay.
When that wasn't even on the table at that point in time. But yeah, and then the only other person that comments is just like, oh yeah, I taught the aliens how to fuck.
I mean, I respect the energy. Both of them.
Yeah.
The guy must have been the Naruto runner at the Area 51 assault.
Neither one said anything about my actual post.
Right.
They didn't say anything about having a discussion. They didn't say anything about anything else. They're just like, oh yeah, well, this is what I think, and this is my retort. And
Yikes. Yeah, I see what you're getting at. I guess you also have to take into the equation here, like how Facebook, A, it's only going to show your friends. B, there's an algorithm designed to which one of those friends are going to actually see it. C, how deep in the feed it's going to be. And B, if, you know, people scrolling past it, if they even give it a mind, you know?
Yeah, I've found that most things without pictures nowadays or without videos kind of just get skipped over.
Well, just Google search, I don't know, an anime chick.
No.
And put that as your post. And then that way, it's not going to be relevant to it. All it is an attention getter at this point.
Well, yeah, I know.
We might get a lot of weebs in here, but that's okay. I mean, maybe.
No, that is not okay.
It's not okay?
No.
Yeah, Kate will probably murder him.
I don't have enough fucking incense to take away that smell.
Full circle. Take a damn shower. It's not hard. Personal hygiene. It takes 15 minutes.
Yeah, but you know just as well as I do, and I'm sure you've met quite a few of those people. Apparently, that is a completely foreign concept.
Ah, yeah, dude.
Soap has never been invented in their life.
They get it from that dimension.
Well, that's fine. They can go fucking back. When their body pillow starts walking around on its own, trying to bring you brownies. But no, fuck off.
It's actual assault at that point. Assault by odor.
Yes.
The olfactory sensors. Yeah, I don't know, man. Well, that's Street or Mysteries. Get that person on here.
I don't know. They've been kind of odd lately. A lot of them trying to give up, and then now they're trying to go into a more serious thing with the possible serial killers residing in the town. And
that's hardcore.
Yeah. Well, apparently, at least from what they say, is there's a group of them in this area.
Oh, in Streeter?
Yeah.
They probably live in the mines.
I don't know. I think they're actually semi-well-known people.
What if they're the serial killers?
I mean, maybe.
That's weird. Well, stay tuned for that one.
All right.
That's interesting.
But I don't know. I guess it's... It wasn't even anything to do with this podcast, necessarily. I just kind of wanted to sit down and have a good discussion with someone more than just you and me, because as fun as this is,
that'd be cool to get somebody else in here.
Right. Having outside viewpoints and outside thought patterns is always a good thing.
Right. Right. I mean, we talk about this shit all the time.
Yeah.
You know, we're just recording it now. That's the difference.
Right. But again, we normally have a lot of things that align.
Mm.
So to have, you know, an actual discussion or debate over topics with people with other viewpoints is always a good thing, because it could indeed change either one of our viewpoints or in the same respect change theirs, or at least it's going to help both parties to grow.
Yeah, all it is a propagation of an actual conversation.
Right.
Get Fallen Angel guy in here. Let's go. We'll talk about aliens and how they're actually demons or whatever he's got going on. You know, Hail Lithith or whatever. Like, it's fine. I don't know. I don't know how it works. Educate me. You know, you want to go in there. And then get the guy in here that says he taught him how to fuck. Because
you know who that one is.
I'm sure I do.
Oh, you really do?
I bet I do. I'm friends with most of the same people you are on Facebook, so.
Yeah, well, he is also a drummer.
Get him in here. Let's go. Be hilarious, man.
Yeah. So,
I mean, he might have some positions and some tips and tricks. Tips of the trade, if you will.
I don't want to see any tip coming from this guy.
Nah.
Sorry, but I draw the line there.
Well, that's good. Yeah, no. Yeah, no. Don't whip it out here. That's not what I'm trying to get at. What I'm saying is, you know, maybe he comes in with diagrams. He doesn't have to give us a full-blown physical demonstration. Because that is something that the police get involved in.
Yeah.
We don't need that.
No.
We don't need that.
No.
But.
Yeah, that got way off topic way quick.
I don't know, man. Maybe in some universe he did teach the aliens how to fuck.
Well, apparently they're fallen angels. And if the angels don't know already, well. And if I do recall correctly, they were supposed to have been ill-equipped for that act, so that doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense to begin with.
Yeah, they were like Ken dolls, weren't they?
Yeah, kind of.
Hmm.
But I guess when...
Or is it like
Old Testament, like, be not afraid, like, rolling up. I'm 1,000 eyeballs and 27 wings.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a weird concept. I don't even want to think about that.
Don't need a dick. Let's go.
The wrong kind of balls, but you know.
Oh, yeah, man. Maybe they're just giant sacks.
Explains the giant kids, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know what they say. Oh, boy. Nobody says that. Nobody says giant sack, giant kids. That's not right. It's not okay.
At least it was entertaining. So anything else you want to add to this, Dave?
Oh, man.
Any other last thoughts on possible Matrix situations or thoughts on your experiences with the Mandela effect or...
Well, I told you about the doorknob.
Well, yeah.
The writing on my socks has changed before. I used to have this, like, all right, you go to like a Dollar Tree or a Dollar General or something, and you get a whole pack of these dinosaurs. They're plastic dinosaur figs,
yeah.
And they're skeletons. And so it's really cool, right?
Right.
And I recall that the Stegosaurus, and I remember making a joke about it, it actually had a dick. Like, it had a bone where the dick would go. And it was funny. I mean, that's really weird. Why would that be there? You know,
yeah.
Thanks, Taiwan. But that was a thing. And then...
I mean, maybe that was just somebody's last day at the factory.
Yeah, but all of them? Like, man, that's... I appreciate that. That's not even quite quitting at that point. That's blatant. And to have it internationally shipped, too?
Right.
Anyways, so... This dinosaur was my measurements of what universe I was in, because some days it didn't have a dick anymore, Tristan. It was gone. I made the joke boner so many times that there's no way in hell that I made that up.
Yeah.
Multiple people had seen this, and thus Mangoes was born, because there was an issue. When a dino loses its dick, it's a new day or something. I don't remember what the slogan was or the catchphrase that I came up with, but it was something along those lines. And... yeah, I mean, so there you go, man. It's not just fun, cute stuff like peanut butter and children's books. Like, it's a whole weird aspect going on. All of our things are shifting around us.
Yeah,
on a pretty regular basis. I just don't think we are aware enough to even notice.
Yeah, I guess at that point, it just depends on how much you pay attention.
Yeah,
because that seems to be another thing that's kind of dwindled is people's attention spans. You know, you kind of gloss over most things because you're hyper focused on something else, and so then you fixate on that, and everything else that happens around you is just you're completely oblivious to.
Yeah, I know.
So
I know what I'm about.
I wasn't meaning you.
Well, you can though, because it's extraordinarily applicable. I just hyperfixate and then immediately hyperfixate on something else, and hyperfixate on. A tube of dinosaur bones, apparently. Like, it just...
Yeah.
That's probably something different. That's probably just autism on my part or something. I don't know.
No, that sounds more like ADHD.
Oh, there's that, too.
Yeah, which I guess is... yeah, it is what it is. But, yeah. Well, I guess if that's all you have, or unless there's something else you want to get into...
Not really, man. I mean, it's an interesting idea. I'm waiting for the dude to roll up in the black trench coat and have me two pills. It's called Downtown Chicago, man. You gotta watch that.
Yeah, but you have to pay for those pills.
Yeah. Yeah. What happens if you eat both of them, though?
Well, if you remember, let me know.
I will do.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you later.
Yep. Take it easy.